Now, this evening we are going to start a short series looking on revival. And if you can't get excited about a series on revival, I don't know what can get you going, okay? Now, first of all, what do we mean by revival, okay? We are not talking about a revival meeting, okay? That's very popular in America, that they would have a meeting at a revival gathering is what they would call it. Katie will know better than I do, okay, a revival gathering together. But that's not really what we're talking about. We're talking about revival in terms of a true heaven-sent spiritual awakening, okay? And that's what we're going to be thinking about over the next 3 weeks or so. Now, tonight is very much going to be a kind of introduction, and what I'm going to speak about mainly is about personal revival, okay? That's what we're going to be thinking about this evening. The problem with speaking about revival is that probably no one here has experienced it. Okay, I haven't experienced it. Have you? Anyone? Okay. Some say yes. Okay, maybe not. Okay, I'm sure that we've experienced times of gospel power. Okay, times. I have been at meetings. Okay, I remember there were several meetings when I went to when I was young. There was something that happened in 1999. It was a Mission Scotland thing. It was called Release the Power. It happened in the SEC. See, it was the opening of the Armadillo. Amazing things happened at that meeting. I believe there were many young people that were saved for the kingdom during that weekend. There was over 3,000 that were there, and that was, 20 years ago. There are other times. There was another kind of youth meeting that I remember going to, and pretty much all the people that were there went forward that night. You know, amazing times when you've experienced gospel power, where God is clearly at work. Okay? And I'm sure you'll have experienced those times as well when the message of Jesus is so tangible and so real. But I reckon that few of us will have experienced times when the power of the gospel has affected entire communities and even society at large. Yeah? We might have experienced something of it, but not to that scale. A lot of us haven't experienced it, and so it's difficult to comprehend what would that look like? How would it be? What would it be if God came in power and changed our community? What would that look like? One of the most amazing things to think about is in the last 100 years or so that Christianity has grown more strongly and at a faster rate than at any other time in its history. That's quite something, isn't it? In the last 100 years that has happened. That's quite a thought. And the reality is, when you think about it, that whilst there is secularization in the West, that is not the pattern around the world. And I guess some of you have maybe experienced something of revival, it has been abroad. It's not been in this country, okay? You see, there's been huge growth in the church in Africa. I had the privilege of being in Ethiopia in April, and you saw amazing, you know, churches filled with people. You know, young people, amazing what God was doing. Asia, you know, church is just exploding. South America, church exploding. And yet we haven't experienced it in this country. What do we experience in this country? Well, as I keep saying to you, Church of Scotland has been in decline since 1957. Wow, that's quite something. Numbers been going down that long. That's all my lifetime and much more, shall we say. Wow. It's even most of your lifetimes as well, some of you. Now, of course, we long, don't we? We long for revival in the church. Okay, we long for the church to be revived. And there are so many stories from previous generation. They say that the last true revival in these islands was the revival in the Isle of Lewis. And the revival in the Isle of Lewis took place 1949 to 52 or 53, thereabouts. And obviously it's a place that Anna and I know relatively well, as Anna's family are from the Isle of Lewis. And there are some incredible stories of what happened when revival came to Lewis. And if you want to find out more about that, I would recommend the books Sounds from Heaven. Wonderful, wonderful book about what God did on the Isle of Lewis in the 1949-52 revival. Now, I think it's well known that the Lewis revival happened when two old women prayed. Okay, that is quite well known, isn't it? They were concerned about the island of Lewis, and so they prayed. But they weren't the only ones. Sometimes people miss this. They weren't the only ones who were praying. Interestingly, from my perspective, the presbytery was concerned about the young people on the island at the time. They were praying too. They met together for particular prayer meetings. And so there was a lot of people that were praying, but these two women in particular were known to be praying. And one of the old women had a vision. They had a vision of a man called Duncan Campbell. He was known as an evangelist. He was down in Skye at that particular time. And she had a vision of him coming to the Isle of Lewis. And he came. Okay, in an amazing way, he came. And if you want to hear Duncan Campbell's story, it's recorded. You can go onto the internet. You can search Duncan Campbell. You can listen to his story. Incredible. And he preached the first night. They were really excited about Duncan Campbell coming, as you would be when you think you're responding to a vision from God. And he preached the first night. The church was full, but nothing particularly out of the ordinary happened. But the people again cried out in prayer, one young man in particular. And he cried out in prayer to say, look, God, this is not what you promised was going to happen. And then amazing things began to happen. Huge numbers of people gathered outside the church. And in that whole area, it all began in kind of Barvis area. People were convicted of their sin. They were on their knees weeping at the side of the road. There were people who were miles and miles away that just decided they were going to walk because they needed to get to where the gospel was being preached. There were others who gathered at the police station. And they gathered at the police station because they didn't know exactly where to go. They knew they had to go somewhere. And they knew that the police officer was a godly man. And so they gathered there. 400 at the police station. Unbelievable. And so what happened in revival in the Isle of Lewis, there was deep conviction of sin. And whole communities were changed as the Holy Spirit came and as the Holy Spirit moved. Now, this year in Lewis, there have been a few events to commemorate the revival. 70 years since it started. There's been a few conferences up there. And there is a longing. There's a longing up there that God would do something again in his sovereignty, in his power, through the power of his Holy Spirit to draw people to himself again. Interestingly, we know some people that were saved during the revival. They are very reticent to speak about it. Now, you might think, why would you not speak about it? This is the reason. They are afraid that they will do it an injustice. It was such an amazing, holy time where God clearly moved that they feel they can't speak about it because they would almost tarnish what God did. That's a really, really interesting reflection on it. There is a longing that God would do something similar again. And we were up in the summer, and one of the ministers that I know fairly well was talking about the revival in Lewis, and he was talking about they're having a conference in the autumn, a revival conference. And as he was speaking, one of the things that he said really resonated with me. Because he said this. Now, things are going well in the church up there. Okay, there's lots of young people. There's lots of people coming to faith in the Lord. But he said this. He said, just because there is little in the way of a sign of corporate revival, it doesn't mean there is any excuse for there not being personal revival. Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Okay. Let me just repeat that again. Okay. Just because there's little in the way of a sign of corporate revival doesn't mean there is no excuse for there not being personal revival. And I think that is absolutely right. You see, there are some people, and we know some of them, okay, who are so longing for revival in the church, so fixated on it, that they forget that revival is a sovereign act of God. Yes, it's in response to prayer, but it's not as if we simply line up our ducks, so to speak, and God will do as we desire. That's not what it's about. We have to be humble enough to realize God is the one who revives. We cannot do it through anything that we do. We can simply come before Him, and we long before Almighty God that He would save those around us in our community, in our church even. We cannot do it through anything that we do. It's God who saves, and He longs to save. Sometimes we forget that, don't we? But God longs that people come to Him. He longs that people put their faith and trust in Him. But the fact is, though we may long for revival in the church, as Christians, it should not change how we live out our lives now. It doesn't matter if there's revival or not revival. That shouldn't matter in terms of how we live out our lives now. Because whether there is revival or not, we are to live our lives to God's glory and to God's praise. We are to live in personal revival. That's what we are to live in. Now, with that in mind, let's turn to our passage in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel is a tricky book, okay? There are lots of peculiar visions in it, okay? Lots of things, especially in the early chapters, of wheels and thrones and different things, okay? It's a hard book to look at. But I'm sure if you know anything in the book of Ezekiel, you know about chapter 37, okay? Because it is a familiar passage. And we see Ezekiel in the middle of a valley. And the valley is full of bones. Bones that are dry. In fact, they are very dry. And as Ezekiel walks to and fro among the bones, the Lord asks, "Son of man, can these bones live?" What kind of question is that? That's quite a question, isn't it? Because as Ezekiel is going to and fro through these bones that are dry bones, in fact, they're very dry bones, what would your answer be? Would it not be, "Lord, look, these are bones. Bones don't live. These are dead bones. You know, there's no flesh in them. There's no tendons. There's nothing about them. They are bones." I think I'm quite impressed by Ezekiel because he shows some faith, doesn't he? He says, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know. You alone know." That's quite an answer, isn't it? He's kind of hedging his bets a wee bit, okay? But he said, "You alone know, Lord." I think he's got more faith than I would have. And the Lord says, "Ezekiel, prophesy to them." And as he does so, what happens? There's a rattling. That'd be quite scary, wouldn't it? All these bones getting up and there's a rattle. And there's tendons. And there's flesh. And initially there's no breath in these bodies. And so Ezekiel's told to prophesy again. Prophesy to the breath. And so he prophesies once more. And the bones come alive, breathing. A vast army of people. Whereas before, there were dry bones dead in a valley. It comes to a place where through the Holy Spirit, what do you have? You have a living and breathing army. Now, of course, this is a picture for Israel, isn't it? I mean, that's the point of this story. You see it in verse 11. Then the Lord said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, we are cut off." And sometimes we feel that in our lives, don't we? Sometimes we feel it in the church. We feel we're dry, we're struggling, we feel cut off, we feel God is not there. I have to say this morning, you know, when I was speaking, and I'm like, "Come on, folks, where are you with me or are you not?" You know, sometimes it's just, any response here? Is the Holy Spirit at work at all? Is God here? Sometimes we can feel dry in our own spirits. And sometimes we know that in our individual lives, don't we? We know that dryness. We know that time when, you know, the minister speaks on a Sunday night and he says you've got to share together. And you've got to share what God has been doing. And you think, "Oh no, my life is dry. You know, I feel like God is doing nothing in my life." We know those times, don't we? Feels as though we're in the valley of dry bones. Nothing is happening. This is a picture for Israel. It's a picture of restoration. They feel dried up. They feel cut off. And yet, look what's in store for them. Look what the Lord is going to do. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open your graves. What are graves? They're places where dead people are. And bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. I'm going to bring restoration. I'm going to bring life where before there was death. And of course, where do we see that? We see that most clearly in the resurrection, don't we? Remember what happens in Matthew's gospel? We sometimes miss this bit out, don't we? When Jesus dies on the cross, remember on the third day what happened? The graves were cracked open. There were many who came to life. That's a fulfillment of the prophecy here, isn't it? That God was going to do something new, that life was going to come. So this is a picture for the people of Israel. But it's also a picture for each one of us, isn't it? Because when God comes into our life, he brings us from a place of death. And he brings us to life. He brings us from being dry bones to vibrant life. You see, God doesn't just kind of connect the bones and then leave us to it. That would look really strange, kind of skeletons walking about, wouldn't it? He doesn't just put the tendons on and the skin on and then not give us breath. He gives us it all, that we are living and breathing for his glory and his praise. He puts his spirit in us. That's what he's promised to do. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, he gives us his Holy Spirit. Remember what happened when Jesus met with the disciples in the upper room? Remember what it says, I think in John's Gospel? It says, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And the disciples' lives were changed. Remember when the disciples on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came upon them, how their lives were changed. Yes, they were living before, but when the Spirit came, they were much more alive. And that's the reality, isn't it? Yes, we're living as human beings, but we're like dead men living until we are regenerated, until we are given new life in Christ. And when we have new life in Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwells within, then we truly know what life is. Life in all its fullness. We are to live in personal revival. We are to live in personal revival. What does that look like? What does it look like for you? What does it look like for me? Because we all know times, don't we, when life is dry, when our spiritual life is dry. And sometimes it's just a case of keeping on going, day after day. You know, I might not feel like it, but I'm going to read my Bible. You know, I might not feel like it, but I'm going to pray. You know, because sometimes those times are the hard times. And you can be assured when you meet with God, that God will surely meet with you. He will help you during the hard times. He will meet with you. He will minister to you. And sometimes when those times are hard, you simply need to ask, Lord God, will you give me your Holy Spirit? Will you give me that joy in my heart once more? Will you restore that joy to me? What is it that it says in the Gospels, Jesus says? You know, fathers, if they're asking for bread, don't give them a stone. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Is that not true? Sometimes we are guilty as Christians of just meandering along. We just meander along and we, you know, just go to our meetings and that's fine. And sometimes we don't even expect to meet with God. Sometimes we do our personal devotions each day and it's just to fulfill righteousness. It's not actually to meet with God. You ever do that? Ah, I just got to read my Bible passage, didn't get much out of it, but I've done it. Therefore, God bless me. That's sometimes our attitude, isn't it? Whereas our attitude should be, Lord God, I owe you everything. I owe you my very life. And I come to your word And I ask, Lord God, would you speak? Would you speak through your word? And when I pray, Lord God, would you answer my prayers? Would you hear my prayers as I pray for others, as I pray for my own situation? Because when we come in that attitude of gratefulness, thankfulness, humility, then God will surely meet with us and give us that life, life in all its fullness. We might not know revival in the church, and we'll speak more about revival in the church next week. But do we know personal revival in our hearts? Do we know that when we trust and believe in Jesus, that we are a new creation? The old is gone. It's gone. It's dead. Some of us were down at the beach last week when we had the lovely baptisms of Luke and Laura. And we're a church that baptizes babies, and that's fine, okay? But we lose something, don't we? Because in the Baptist tradition, what happens? You have someone being fully immersed. They die to Christ as they're placed in the water, and they rise again to new life. A great symbolism there, isn't there? As we see the cleansing power of Jesus, as we see what he does in our lives, do you know the power of the Holy Spirit in your life tonight? Do you truly know it? Does it just burst from within you and you think, I want to live that way. I want to live for God. I want to live for Jesus. I want him to be my all in all. I want to know that life in all its fullness. I want to live in personal revival. Is that you this evening? I know it is. It is for me. It is for you too. Let's live that way. Let's seek after God. And as we seek after God, God will surely meet with us. Shall we just pray together? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for the amazing stories of revival in our nation from many centuries ago, but also in the last century, in the Lewis Revival and revival in Wales and many other places too. Lord God, we are amazed that people would come and walk for miles, that they would know such conviction of sin, that they would cry out longing to be saved. We thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit and all that it was doing in convicting people and comforting people and pointing them towards the Lord Jesus. But Lord God, as we long for our church and we long for people to come to faith in you and we long for revival in our land at this time, we also recognize, Lord God, that we need personal revival, that we need to be in the right place with you, that we need to be seeking after you, that we may need to truly grasp what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, that when Jesus died on the cross, that our old life died with him, with all its sin, with all its shame. And we thank you, Lord God, that when Jesus rose again on the third day, he met with the disciples and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And Lord God, we recognize in our own lives that we need the power of the Holy Spirit each and every day, that we need to know what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we need to know that we are a new creation in him. And Father, as we live in that reality, we pray that we would be a people of prayer, that we would be a people who seek after you in your word, that we would be a people who reach out to others with the good news of the gospel in word and also in action, that we would love one another as you have called us to do, that we would love others around us, even those we perhaps find unlovable. And we do so, Lord God, because you have loved us, and we in our natural selves are unlovable. Loving Lord God, we are so grateful for the God that you are. And Lord God, we thank you that you have chosen us. What an amazing thing it is to think that of everyone in the whole world, that you have chosen us to come into your kingdom, to be your people. And we pray, Lord God, that we as your people would give you all the glory, all the praise, and we would live out our lives fully for you in personal revival. So, loving Lord God, speak to us through your word this evening, we pray. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.